meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. Thank you. A roll call. The meeting recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, we know that an elected official from the city of Beaverton will not be present, so I'll start with the city of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah.
Here.
And for TVWD, Commissioner Duggan.
Here.
Thank you. That concludes roll call. All other attendance will be recorded using the Microsoft Teams participant list.
All right, thank you. So the first thing on today's agenda is the general manager's report. Mr. Kraska will present that.
Great, thank you very much. Good afternoon, commissioners. So here we go with the general manager's report. Start off with a couple of quick other reminders about remote meetings etiquette. And again, thank you for continued flexibility as we're still meeting remotely. Please mute your microphone when not speaking. Identify yourself before you speak. And if someone other than a board member would like to ask a question or make a comment, please use the raise hand feature and let me know. And I'll be tracking that and just wait to be acknowledged. So as we always do, we'll start off with a safety minute. This one is a harken back to actually April. So click on the next slide, please. We're talking about Windows safety tips. So the first week of April was Windows Safety Week. And as part of that, come some reminders associated with that. So 8 children under 5 die and another 3,300 are hospitalized each year due to injuries from window falls. The NSC and Windows Safety Task Force, by the way, the NSC stands for National Safety Council, and Windows Safety Task Force established Windows Safety Week to heighten awareness of the actions homeowners can take to establish Windows safety and fall prevention as a year-round safety priority. Windows Safety Week coincides with the arrival of spring and when people naturally want to open their windows, let in fresh air. Here in the Pacific Northwest, sometimes we have to wait a little bit longer for that weather to really occur for us, but it's starting to happen, so it's a good reminder, timely for now. So, let's talk about some window safety do's. First off, is when young children are around, keep the windows closed and locked so that they can be safe when playing in such rooms. Number two, when you're opening a window for ventilation, use those that are located out of a child's reach, so the windows that are higher up, for example. And number three, supervise children to keep their play away from windows, balconies, and patio doors. So that's some window safety do's. So we'll talk about some window safety don'ts. Don't place furniture near windows to prevent young children from climbing and gaining access to an open window. Don't let children jump on beds and other furniture to help reduce potential falls. And don't rely on insect screens to prevent a window fall. Insect screens are only designed to keep bugs out, not to keep children in the home. And one more last safety window do to consider is to install a window stop. There's a particular ASTM F2090 compliant device that is designed to limit how far a window can open, and you want it to open no more than 4 inches to, again, to keep safety in mind. And then the last slide here is just the window safety website to go to for more information. Continuing on now with the general manager's report, we'll start off with approvals and procurements forecast. Attached to this report is that forecast for April through June of 2021. The forecast presents a view of WWSP activities that have recently been approved or are scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either the WWSP director / WWSS general manager, the WWSS committees, or the WWSS board. The forecast identifies 6 business items that are anticipated to be on the June board meeting agenda. These include 1 real estate approval, 4 WWSS IGAs, and approving the fiscal year 2022 annual work plan for Stantec Consulting Services, our program management and construction management consultant. Later in this meeting, Joelle Bennett will present a staff report on these anticipated June business items. Now moving on to our projects planning, permitting, and communications updates. Permits and approvals were recently issued for various projects on the overall WWSP and for the overall WWSP. For POW 1.2, that's our pipeline segment on Cornelius Pass Road between TV Highway and Francis Street, City of Hillsborough issued erosion control and public infrastructure permits. For PLM 5.3, our pipeline segment from the intersection of Grabhorn Road, Tile Flat Road, up to Rosedale Road, Washington County approved our land use application. And for the WWSP, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife renewed our wildlife salvage permit. We are continuing to submit permit applications for other WWSP's projects, including a minor permit modification bundle with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Oregon Department of State Lands. And there's a list of projects that are included in that bundle listed in the General Manager's Report. And then continuing, despite restrictions and modified business practices of the permitting agencies related to COVID-19, our permits continue to be processed in a timely manner. Projects design status updates. Work on multiple design projects continues, including 11 pipeline projects, the water treatment plant, our distributed control systems, and our water storage tanks. And all of the design projects are progressing according to plan. And concluding now with our projects construction status updates, we have 6 projects in construction, the same projects I've been reporting on the last couple of months. And starting off with the raw water facilities project located down near the water treatment plant, a lot of activity there. We've continued our jet grouting production around the caisson and pipe zones, and actually we've just recently completed all of that work. We've completed excavating for the trenchless launch shaft, and we began mobilizing the pipe ramming equipment. In fact, that equipment is now in production, in operation actually. We continued excavation of the receiving shafts. We began installation of an 8-inch potable water line and a 4-inch sanitary sewer line. We reinstalled a refurbished raw water pump into the new pump location, and we began construction of the new flow meter vault at the upper site. PLM 1.1, that's a raw water pipeline project just north of the raw water facilities project in Wilsonville. On that one, we're pretty much done. Project and punch list items are complete. Limited additional work needed at the drainage swale as required by the City of Wilsonville. And then just final paperwork and project closeout is in progress. PLM 1.2, our pipeline project in the north side of Wilsonville, that's a partnership project with the City of Wilsonville and the roadway project in Garden Acres Road. And that one, finished grading and final restoration north of Day Road, installation of brass cap markers and combination air relief vault appurtenances. Preliminary deficiency list correction underway, and TVW-WWSP and the engineer sitewalk for final punch list creation. So as you can tell, PLM 1.2 is almost complete as well. Moving further up north, PLM 5.1, our pipeline project in Roy Rogers Road, just south of Shoals Ferry Road. That one, we continued installation of corrosion protection systems, air vault assemblies, and access vaults. The 18-inch Tiger turnout piping and associated vault construction is underway. We completed the interior grouting of all of the 66-inch pipe, and mainline pressure testing and disinfection is upcoming. So that one is getting closer to wrapping up too. PLM 5.2, finished water pipeline project along Shoals Ferry Road, Tile Flat Road up to Grabhorn. That one is just about done as well. We completed construction work and demobilization, closing project permits, and completing property restoration and punch list items to satisfy final completion requirements. And then finally, PLW 1.3, that's our finished water pipeline project in the South Hillsborough area. On that one, we've installed approximately 2,800 feet of the 30-inch TVWD turnout pipeline along Rosedale Road and southwest to 9th Avenue. Delivery and staging of the 66-inch pipe is ongoing. We began repaving southwest Rosedale Road, we were able to reopen that one. And the Rosedale closure was extended to May 5th. Due to some construction issues that needed to extend the construction requirement a little bit. So we worked with Washington County to extend that closure, but I believe the road is open back up now. And then finally, we began microtunneling across Butternut Creek. So with that, all the projects remain on track and are progressing according to plan, and all the contractors are remaining in compliance with the Governor's Executive Order Number 20-12 regarding hygiene and social distancing. And that concludes this month's General Manager's Report. Be glad to take any questions if there are any.
All right, sounds like there's no questions. Next item on the agenda is the time for public comment. It is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any person or persons who would like to comment? Dave, do you have anybody on the line?
Nope, I don't see anybody attending or with their hands raised.
All right. Next item is a consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. So on that agenda, we have item A, which is approve the April 1st, 2021 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? Please remember to state your name prior to making a motion or a second for this action item. The meeting recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
I'll just ask for a motion first before I do that.
This is Commissioner Duggan, I so move.
This is Commissioner Judah, I second.
All right, for the roll call vote, Commissioner Judah?
Pass. Meaning yes, the vote for the consent agenda.
Thank you. Commissioner Duggan?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes. Next item today is the business agenda items. Item A is consider adopting resolution number WWSS06-21, declaring public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 1.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System. Ms. Bennett will present the staff report.
Thank you, Chair Judah, and thank you, Commissioner Duggan. The Willamette Water Supply Systems
Joelle, you're muted.
I forgot to click that button. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioners. The Willamette Water Supply Systems PLM 1.3 project in Wilsonville has completed its 60% design phase, and we are ready to initiate the property acquisition process. The proposed PLM 1.3 resolution of need provides staff the ability to initiate property acquisition processes for the identified easements. These easements are necessary for project construction as well as the long-term maintenance and operation of the pipeline. The Commission has authority to acquire real property for the WWSS, and pipeline section PLM 1.3 requires the acquisition of easements on private property. These pipeline alignments were selected through extensive alternatives evaluations, and the preferred locations were selected based on the best interests of the public and the least injury to private property owners. This resolution enables the initiation of the property acquisition process, including negotiations with interest holders, and also authorizes the acquisition of the property interests by eminent domain to the extent negotiations fail. Staff recommend approval of the proposed resolution. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Commissioner Duggan, do you have any questions?
No questions here, thank you.
All right, thank you, neither do I. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WWSS06-21 approving the PLM 1.3 resolution need? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this action.
This is Commissioner Duggan, I so move that we adopt resolution WWSS06-21.
As Commissioner Judah, I second that motion. The meeting recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
Commissioner Judah?
Aye.
Commissioner Duggan?
Aye.
All right, thank you. The motion passes. Moving on to item B, consider adopting resolution number WWSS07-21, approving the settlement agreement between the WWSS Commission, Metro, and the City of Hillsborough for the securing of the easement through the Orinco Woods Nature Park. Ms. Walter will present the staff report.
Good afternoon. Since you just read my first line there, do you want to advance to the next slide? That would be great. Okay. For this recommendation for consideration, some quick background for everyone. Orinco Woods Nature Park is a 42-acre nature park located at 7100 Northeast Birch Street in Hillsborough. The park is jointly owned by the City of Hillsborough Metro and is managed by the City of Hillsborough's Parks and Recreation Department. In 2013, at the time, Hillsborough Metro were developing a park master plan for designing park improvements Hillsborough knew that the WWSP was in preliminary design and at the point of narrowing pipeline route along Cornelius Pass Road and was most likely going to need an easement through the park. And recognition of this fact there and our potential need for the pipeline to go through the park, Hillsborough included a condition in the land use decision with Metro that an easement would be granted for the pipeline if we needed it. Since 2016, the WWSP has been in continuous communication with Hillsborough's Parks and Rec Department, as well as Metro, and discussions throughout this period have been over the terms for a temporary construction easement as well as the permanent easement over the pipeline. Next slide, please. Okay, now we're on to the terms. So this is what is in the agreement itself. The WWSP will have a one-year period to install the pipeline through the park. The clock on that 1 year starts with site clearing. The WWSP will design, permit, and install on-site restoration of the disturbed riparian upland habitat, trees, shrubs, and plants. Once restoration has occurred, the WWSP will then monitor the area for a five-year period following substantial completion to ensure that the restoration, the plantings, are all taking hold and are successfully thriving. In addition, the WWSP will design, permit, and construct travel improvements within the park. Those are specifically 320 linear feet of gravel trail, 340 linear feet of boardwalk. These improvements will take place within the six months of substantial completion of the pipeline. Staff recognizes that flooding and saturation in that area of the ground area in the park and possible permitting conditions could impact the ability to complete the work within 6 months. And so while we will do our best and all best efforts to complete it within the 6 months time frame, we have negotiated language with Metro that is contained within the agreement, which will allow for a necessary extension if, after good faith effort, we just need additional time. Again, ground saturation through a portion of the year consistently could hamper construction. And then just as a side note, from a permitting perspective, the one area that we believe could be a holdup is if a letter of map revision is necessary to attain from FEMA. That will all depend on what the final design of the trail and boardwalk improvements, if they trigger that, that's where we think there could be a holdup. And so we made provisions for that. And the final term contained within the agreement is the WWSP. The WWSP will compensate Metro and City of Hillsborough staff time incurred for any kind of project-related work, their review of plans and or monitoring while the project is ongoing. And at this time, we estimate the cost for the design, permitting, and construction of the trail improvements to be approximately $300,000. Next slide. Okay, so again, today's requested action from the board is the approval of the settlement agreement between the Willamette Water Supply System Commission, Metro, and the City of Hillsborough for the securing of an easement through the Orenco Woods Nature Park. Now I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
It's Commissioner Judah, I have no questions.
Commissioner Duggan, I have no questions.
All right. Since there are no questions, do I have a motion to second to adopt resolution WWSS-07-21 approving the PLW 2.0 settlement agreement between the Willamette Water Supply Commission, Metro, and the City of Hillsborough for the securing of the easement through the Orenco Woods Nature Park? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and a second.
This is Commissioner Duggan. I move that we approve resolution number WWSS-07-21. As presented.
This is Commissioner Judah. I second. The meeting recorder will now conduct a voted roll call.
Commissioner Judah.
Aye.
Commissioner Duggan.
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you. Item C, consider adopting resolution number WWSS-08-21, amending an intergovernmental agreement with Washington County for the joint design of PLM 4.1 Highway 99 Crossing Pipeline and 12 to Sherwood Road, Langer Farms Parkway to Borchers Drive. Mr. Britz will present the staff report.
Good afternoon, Chair Judah, Commissioner Duggan. Let me take control of this here. So I presume you can see the PowerPoint.
Looks good.
Okay. So this first one relates to design IG amendment with Washington County for our PLM 4.1 project. Outline of topics I'm going to cover. I'll give you a little bit of background on the project, talk about the project conditions, the interconnected nature of the design development, talk about previous IGAs, cost validation that we went through, finally the benefits of partnering, and then the request for approval. So a little bit of background. This PLM 4.1 project, it involves about 4,200 linear feet of 66-inch diameter welded steel pipe done in partnership with Washington County while they do their road work. This covers a portion of 12 and Sherwood Road, crosses Highway 99, and then actually Roy Rogers Road on the west. And it's really in the heart of City of Sherwood. Average daily traffic there on Dwald and Sherwood Road based on 2017 data is around 30,000 vehicles per day just along that road. Combined estimated joint value of that project between the two elements of work around $27 million. So the heart of the PLM 4.1 design IGA really comes down to three items. The first two relate to topographic survey, where additional mapping was developed on behalf of the program and includes the cost associated with that. The second relates to Washington County administration, project management, and then the engineering required to incorporate our work into their design. But really the core of the costs are associated with traffic control development and the associated design. So it's the development of traffic control alternatives, developing of plans and details in support of the different staging plans. Because of the nature of the work in the intersections, there's a lot of temporary signals and signage, striping, temporary access plans, and then cost estimating and stakeholder coordination. So just to describe a little bit more about where we're building this project and the overall project conditions. So the 12th and Sherwood Road is really a super, you know, busy arterial, again, 25 to 30,000 vehicles per day. Some of the other anecdotal information we heard from Washington County is a really high truck volume. Approximately 30% of the traffic is from trucks. We heard that it carries more truck traffic than Highway 217, and that intersection with Highway 99 there, the total traffic volume is on the order of around 70,000 vehicles per day, and so it's the highest non-interstate intersection in the county. So besides that, though, because it's in the heart of Sherwood, all those other intersections that you see highlighted to the left and to the right of the Highway 99 crossing are all important intersections that need to be maintained, whether it's for commercial business access or key residential access areas. There's just a lot of complexity associated with that. And the project involves just coordination, again, with multiple stakeholders and permitting authorities, again, including Washington County, City of Sherwood, ODOT for Highway 99, all the different businesses that use the roads and the intersections, as well as residential. And then there's just a lot of pass-through traffic using this intersection. So to support that with the design, it's a combined design development between traffic control, what the road's doing, and what we're needing to do in support of constructing our pipeline through this area. And so as part of that interconnected design is developing different staging areas to support the various work activities. And so there's, you see on the right side of the screen there, a couple of our really detailed traffic control drawings that support the staging and traffic flow. One of the things that is that we have to do, that anyone who builds in this area has to do, is we have to maintain all traffic flow, particularly at peak times. And so what that means is additional area outside the current roadway is needed for development. And so there's a lot of widening that takes place, you know, in support of being able to shift traffic so that allows you to construct in different areas. There's coordination with all the utilities that need to be relocated in support of this, all the business and residential traffic coordination that needs to be planned for and accommodated by our designs. And then, you know, just recognizing that the plans have to be approved here by all the permitting authorities. So that includes Washington County, City of Sherwood, and ODOT as it relates to Highway 99. And quite honestly, this is the single most complicated traffic control coordination project on the entire program. So this slide talks about a little bit about previous IGAs and what's in the current one. So our first IGA started in 2017. You can see the different amendments there. The second amendment was really setting the stage for beginning of the final design activities to complete this project back in February of 2020. Currently, the project is out to bid. So as of Monday this week, it was advertised. And so that's actually a really, you know, significant milestone after years of coordination and work with the county on this really, you know, challenging project. On the right-hand side of the screen are just kind of the list of different activities that are covered under the IGA. And again, I highlighted the most important ones. And actually, traffic control represents over 87% of the costs associated with this IGA. So, you know, what we like to do, as you've seen in previous discussions we've had with the board, is we like to go through a process to validate the costs and make sure they seem appropriate for the kind of work that's being completed. And so the table that you see on the screen is from Washington County, where they've identified what are the number of drawings that were affected by the work to support traffic control design for the pipeline, what was the cost, and then kind of the metric that we've been using is a cost per sheet value. And so you see that roughly $3,300 per sheet, but that also actually is a little bit inflated because we had to do some redesign related to our Highway 99 crossing. And so probably, you know, several years ago, we started down the path with full support of Washington County and ODOT being able to use trench lift or open cut construction across Highway 99. As the design completed, Washington County kind of reversed their support for that position, as well as Sherwood weighed in and really found that to be unacceptable. And so we had to do some redesign of traffic control that's reflected in that number. So when we compare that number, $3,300 per sheet, to kind of a couple other projects we're doing independent of Washington County that also represent a really high traffic control design projects, our MPE and our POW 2.0 projects, they range kind of on either side of that. MPE 1.2 is around $2,900. A sheet, PLW 2.0 is around $4,400 per sheet. So, you know, the cost per sheet seems, you know, appropriate and representative of what we're seeing on other projects for traffic control. This slide shows the history with the different amounts associated with the previous amendments, as well as the current amendment there. the proposed amount of $406,218.11. And then you can see the share by partner that's represented there, resulting in a new IGA value of around just over $928,000. And so I'd like to point out that this additional $406,000 with this IGA will be funded from project contingency. And kind of the rationale behind that is it represents a kind of work that happens as a design progresses through its development from, earlier in the project, having less design development. And as that complexity gets worked into the design documents, that's what that project contingency serves as, to allow for that completion of things that are less designed, less developed earlier in the project. So I'd like to point out again the benefits of partnering. This is this joint construction through one of the busiest intersections of Washington County truly does limit overall disruption to the community. Again, whether it's the city of Sherwood, people passing through on Highway 99 or other directions, as well as the businesses and residential people in Sherwood. Because of partnering, there's actually more of Tualatin and Sherwood Road that's going to be upgraded by Washington County and in support of our partner projects. So it's again really a win-win that allows us both to construct more difficult projects together. And again, without Washington County as a partner, based on what we know today on what it takes to build through there, we'd certainly have to pay a lot more, and maybe, $11 million or higher perhaps. We would still have to probably do almost all the things that the county is doing just to widen the work area, to move traffic, to create space that would support our being able to construct our open cut pipeline project. And then finally, it is really, quite honestly, a great benefit to us, the program, to have Washington County taking the lead in this key stakeholder engagement. So whether it's with City of Sherwood, ODOT, the related public coordination, and then property acquisition. And then it does, by doing this jointly, it really does improve our overall key stakeholder support. So the request for approval is that the board consider approval of Amendment 3 of the WWSP Washington County PLM 4.1 design IGA, which increases the cost for the design services by $406,218.11. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions?
No questions from me, Commissioner Duggan.
All right. For some reason, I have an echo. I'm unsure why. I hope you're not hearing it.
I don't.
I'm hearing it too.
Do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WWSS-08-21, amending an intergovernmental agreement with Washington County for the joint design of PLM 4.1 Highway 99 Crossing Pipeline and Tualatin Sherwood Road Dash Langer Farms Parkway to Borchers Drive. Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and a second with this action.
This is Commissioner Duggan, so moved.
This is Commissioner Judah, second. Meeting recorder will now take voting roll call for the record.
Commissioner Judah?
Aye.
Commissioner Duggan?
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you, Mike. But I think you're on the spot again, because the next item on the agenda is consider adopting resolution WWSS-09-21, approving the intergovernmental agreement between Washington County and the Willamette Water Supply Commission, joint construction of Tualatin Valley Sherwood Road, Langer Farms Parkway to Borchers Road, and PM 4.1 Highway 99 Crossing Pipeline projects. Mr. Rich.
Okay. Well, so it's really useful to be able to go through all the background on the previous presentation. It really sets the stage for this discussion as well. So this partnership with Washington County requires both the design IGA that we just talked about, but then also construction IGAs related to administration of the combined work. So what the construction IGA does is it outlines the terms related to executing the construction and the associated costs, including costs that we share because we both benefit from sharing those costs. And really each project, this is now the third construction IGA that we're bringing before the board or approval for the program with Washington County. And each project so far has been independent and its own unique set of circumstances. And so the negotiations that take place related to each of these projects is really on a project by project basis and related to the specific characteristics of each project. And it is necessary for us to have a construction IGA in place prior to initiating the construction work with the county. So at the heart of the IGA related to costs, there's an Exhibit 2 that outlines the estimated costs for the program. And so I would say before a few days ago, the slide was entirely correct in saying that excluding pipeline construction. So this has been a pretty tough project to land. Not that the Washington County hasn't been a great partner, because they have been, but it's just because of the complexity in dealing with this. And so later on, I'm going to talk about a little bit of administration work that we need to do after if the board decides to approve this to kind of modify Exhibit 2. So the five parts of Exhibit 2, excluding the pipeline, the first one includes the partnering IGA restoration cost. And so this is a fixed cost that's associated with a master partnering IGA that's developed several years ago. And what that IGA recognized is that, because we were going to be constructing in this area anyway, and the county had interest in also doing work at the same time, is in, there's some benefit to us certainly, and to the county in doing this work together. And so instead of us paying those costs independent, this IGA kind of sets the stage and lays out the methodology for how would we provide those extra dollars that are no longer needed to allow the county to expand their work. And so those terms are set, and that amount is fixed from that partnering IGA. As I mentioned earlier, each project is independent, and so there's a monthly administration cost that is a cost incurred by the county to administer pipeline construction on our behalf. And so again, there's a certain amount of duration that it takes for us to install our pipeline on this project, and then there's some where they have a much heavier role in administering the project, and then there's some time before and after that at a much reduced rate, but they still have some activity in support of administrating the project on our behalf. And so that's reflected in that administration cost. So as the lead for the design as it relates to traffic control, they have a design consultant who developed plans not only for the county but for the in support of the pipeline work. And so it's normal during the course of construction to have designers review submittals and provide replies for requests for information from the contractor. And so there's some money identified associated with that activity with this item. And then finally, the last two relate to either shared cost or mobilization. And these are costs that will vary based on the actual bid amount. So as currently established in the IGA, they're based on two separate independent cost estimates, one by the county's design consultant for their work, one by our design consultant for our work. And they're just used to set some initial amounts represented in the IGA that then will be modified based on actual bid amounts. And so kind of how that works, how the modification works, is there's this percentage that I'm going to show you on the next table in that exhibit too. But, you know, currently it splits up the work based on all the other non-shared costs. So, you know, for our portion, it's those costs directly associated with our pipeline work, and for the county, their road work. And so that's used to identify the percentage split on items that are shared. But it will, that actual percentage split will vary based on actual bid amount. So let's say that we got a really good bid on our pipeline work, then the percentage is gonna shift more towards the county picking up a higher part of that shared cost, as well as we benefit from a lower pipeline cost if that happens. And so again, using that percentage, that will, again, based on the road work and the pipeline work, that will affect those shared items, the ultimate cost to us, as well as the mobilization charge that gets applied to all cost items. And again, partially influenced by that percentage amount. So if you look at the IGA, and I'm not expecting you to kind of dive into the details. I just want to kind of, the exhibit two here, I want to walk through kind of what it talks about. So for the different items that identifies, you know, who is the description and who is the lead agency. For the different activities identified, it identifies, hey, what is the total cost of these activities as it relates to the overall project? Is it a shared cost, yes or no? If it's shared, then you apply that percentage that I just kind of walked through before. And again, that's going to vary with bids. There's a column that represents what is Washington County's total cost, what is the program's total cost. And then just, you know, as we move forward in administering the project, something that in the last column there really talks about our notes and assumptions. So we're all clear, you know, when we look at this later, what were our assumptions and what's the methodology that's been established. And so if we were to summarize those costs, the first four of those relate to project-related costs. So the administration of the work, engineering services during construction, and then shared and mobilization costs. And so that represents a value of about $3.6 million in the design construction IGA. And then separate from that, based on that partnering IGA that was established years ago, is what is the value that's going to be contributed to Washington County in relation to that activity. And so that's nearly $3 million, and that's a fixed cost. And so if you add all those up, the total value represented in exhibit two, as I went through, was just over $6.6 million. So I want to though point out what is that all these costs relate to our baseline. And so the top part of the table that you see there shows what was in baseline 6 for PLM 4.1. So just over $12.7 million. So if we incorporate the project cost part of it, so it's our pipeline cost plus the shared costs and other costs that are relate to the actual project from the current IGA, that amount is just over $15.9 million. And then separate from that, the administration and the partnering IGA costs over $3.5 million. And so if you add all those up, that's an amount just over $19.5 million. And if the project were to bid exactly as predicted by the cost estimates, this project would require a draw on management reserve in the amount of around $6.8 million. But we're not ready to say that's the amount that we need from Washington from management reserve. But we really need to wait and see how the bids come in. How does that affect the cost shares? How did our pipeline project come in as far as part of the overall cost? So again, these are just based on two independent estimates and the math that was done in support of that. You know, so far on the previous two projects that we bid in partnership with Washington County, we've done actually really well, and the bids have been supportive of kind of reducing project costs. But again, you know, we we don't know until we see what the actual bid amounts are. And so based on that $6.6 million, the proposed amendment value you see there, and then the cost share reflected per partner based on that amount. So this is the same slide from before, the benefits to partnering, but I'm just going to kind of focus on one key point here represented in this box. So, you know, it is still the most cost-effective way that we could do this project. And if we had to go it alone, you know, it could be $11 million more or higher. You know, it's actually quite amazing that we're able to do open cut construction in the vicinity of one of the busiest intersections in Washington County with full support of Washington County, the city of Sherwood, and ODOT. And again, it comes down to, you know, related to the costs, and if we were had to go it alone, we'd still have that obligation to maintain all traffic lanes, and we'd be doing it without certainly as much support as we have from them today, these key stakeholders. And quite honestly, they could do other things like make us do trenchless construction through this area. So, you know, in spite of this being you know, a large amount that's associated with this construction IGA, the costs of going alone are still going to be significantly higher. So the request is for the board to consider approval of this construction IGA for PLM 4.1 in the amount of the $6.6,856. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Commissioner Duggan, do you have any questions?
I have no questions. I look forward to hearing how the bills come from.
Okay, thank you. I do have one question. I just wanted to make sure I understood this right and then the context of it. So your last slide, if you can go back one slide, is asking for a request of this IGA amendment, correct? This is an amendment?
No, sorry. This is a brand new IGA. If I said amendment, I apologize.
Oh, okay. So
this is a brand new construction IGA.
And it's the fact, and I listened to all your details, so I'm just kind of restating. So it's the fact that it's going to be $6.6 million more than what we had originally estimated / forecasted for this part of the project. And you said that 6.6 is going to come out of the management reserve. Did I summarize that correctly?
Yes, I would say mostly so. So the management reserve number is slightly different than this, but yeah, so whatever is more than what's in the baseline will be coming out of management reserve, and we won't know what that number is until the bids have been received.
Okay. So I guess what I got confused on here a little bit is I don't think you normally, we get normally asked for approval to take money out of management reserve if the cost of a project is more than is anticipated. It kind of sounds like in this particular case, you're asking us to approve that, or should we just be approving the construction costs for this 4.1?
So I think I'm going to ask Bill Vandeveer to maybe help clarify specifically what is the right ask. But we are asking that you approve the construction IGA, and based on the information we have today, that number it represents the $6.6 million. We're not asking for a draw on management reserve today, but let me stop there and let Bill Vandeveer clarify anything that I might have got wrong there.
Good afternoon, commissioners. This is Bill Vandeveer, program manager for the supply program. Mike's description was accurate. Today, the request is only to approve the $6,600,856 associated with the IGA with Washington County. When the bids come in, if there is a need for management reserve draw, I expect that would be a separate engagement with the board.
All right, thank you very much, Bill. That clarifies most. My last comment would be, how much management reserve have we allocated for this particular part of the project that likely going to at least take quite a few million out of?
I guess maybe Bill, maybe you can help provide the answer if you don't mind.
I do not know the amount for this particular item. Because the management reserve is based on a model of all the risks with the program and some mathematics and probability behind it, there aren't specific earmarks by project. But Joelle may have some additional detail because of her management of the risk analysis.
You described it correctly, Bill. Did you want to say something, Dave?
Yeah, a couple things. So piling on to what Bill said. So we don't have earmarks and management reserve for specific projects. It's essentially a bank to address things like this. So where we have projects that exceed budget or IGAs that exceed expectations or things of that nature. So it's that account that we would be drawing on if the bids come in the way that Mike portrayed them here. And so this isn't so there's really two things going on with this particular ask. One is to approve this construction IGA. And what we're telegraphing for you essentially is that when we add up the project costs and the IGA costs and everything associated with it, we are exceeding the costs for this project in the baseline by $6.6 million. And so what we're saying basically in full transparency is sitting here today, we need to approve the construction IGA, and we believe that with all the information we have right now, that we may exceed the baseline cost by $6.6 million, which would be a draw on management reserve. And we won't know that for sure until about a month from now when this project actually bids. I hope that might be helpful and not further confusing the matter.
It is helpful. So I think I'll wait till we have, I'm expecting we'll have a future discussion once all the bids are in and we find out what we need to do for management reserve. The only reason I'm asking about this is when we talk about budget for the city of Hillsborough and other cities, one of the things that comes up in that discussion is how much money gets held, and I'm going to say by project, for management reserve. So that's why I was kind of referring to what it was on this project. I understand it's probably all in one account, but we figure out what that management reserve is based on the size of each project and what we think the risks are. But I don't want to detract any more on that, so I appreciate the answers that you folks have given. Are there any other questions on this before we vote?
None from me. Commissioner Duggan.
All right, thank you. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WWSS-09-21, approving an intergovernmental agreement between Washington County and the Willamette Water Supply Commission, joint construction of 12 Sherwood Road-Langer Farms Parkway, Gibraltar's Drive, and PM 4.1 Highway 99 crossing pipeline projects? Again, please remember to state your name prior to making a motion.
This is Commissioner Duggan. I move that you approve resolution WWSS-09-21 as presented.
This is Commissioner Judah. I second. The meeting recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
Commissioner Judah.
Aye.
Commissioner Duggan.
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Mike, nice presentations on both items. Item E on the agenda is consider approving the contract with Emery & Sons Construction Group for MPE 1.2/COB 1.2 pipeline construction contractor for the Willamette Water Supply Program. Mr. Britt, once again.
All right. So I'm going to apologize here. I have like three screens open and I clicked on something, so I have to look off to the side now to do this presentation. And I don't want to try and fix it because I might mess something up. So approve MPE 1.2 COB 1.2 construction contract. So project overview, give you a brief project overview, talk about our construction procurement approach, our scoring associated with best value, cost of the work, and then our recommendation. So just an overview of the combined MPE 1.2 COB projects. And so this work generally occurs along Shoals Ferry from Nimbus and then going north across Highway 217 past Hall Boulevard on Shoals all the way up to Allen and then Allen to Western. So probably right up there behind our last intersection as far as one of the more challenging areas in Washington County to construct a pipeline. So for the program, TVWD, it includes about 14,000 feet of 48-inch diameter welded steel pipe, 2,500 feet of 24-inch ductile iron line on Hall Boulevard, and then a pressure flow control facility there, multiple trenchless construction crossings for COB. 1.2, just over 15,000 feet of 16-inch diameter duct iron pipe and trenchless work there, and then both projects have some various service connections associated with it. So with this project, we used best value construction procurement, and so we developed a request for proposal that was published in February of 2021. That was advertised in the Oregon DJC, as well as sending out notice to all 10 of our pre-qualified contractors that are on our list for the program. For the firms, we were able to have individual proprietary meetings where they could discuss any of their comments or questions that they had. And then ultimately, we received two proposals and two written proposals and price proposals from contractors. And as it turned out, those two proposals that we received were two of the contractors that we really have are some of our best working relationships with. And so that's Emery & Sons and J.W. Fowler. And so kind of how the scoring goes with the best value approach, there's a total of up to 1,000 points that can be assigned. And 30% of those are related to non-cost factors. So talk about experience, quals of the both the firm and their key staff, understanding their approach to health and safety. And then, you know, also probably most importantly is what is their understanding, what are their specific approach ideas for this specific project, given all the different types of constraints and issues that we've identified. You know, and an added benefit with that is we're able to ask specific questions on their proposal, getting written responses, and all of that becomes part of the written document that's part of the contract. So it really sets the stage to make sure there's minimal misunderstandings in what people were thinking when this project was bid. And so based on the scoring with the non-cost, it was very, very close between the two. Really two excellent proposals, a few more points to Emery, and so they ended up getting the full 300 points. And then related to cost, Emery had the lowest bid at just over $54 million. Fowler was over $66 million, and because of the lower cost, Emery got the full points on the cost as well. So they got the full 1,000 points out of the selection. So our combined budget with contingency for this project was just over $55 million, so a little bit more than the low bid, but however, that does include our construction contingency that I'm going to talk about more in a minute. Both bids were within the range of our engineer's 100% opinion of probable construction costs, which ran from $63 to $68 million. And then this table just shows kind of the overall cost breakdown for both TVWD and Beaverton. And then importantly, At the bottom, the bottom third of the table talks about our recommended contingency. So because the bid is more than our what was in our baseline without contingency, there's a need to increase contingency to be consistent with kind of how the program approaches that. So at this point in a project, the program recommends carrying a 10% contingency. And because these projects are ancillary projects, that extra, that contingency is not being carried as part of our management reserve. And so we're asking the partners, TVWD and Beaverton, to fund any additional contingency that's needed to bring that amount up to the full 10% based on their respective portions of the bid amount. And so for TVWD to get to the 10%, plus we're also including an allowance of $150,000 to deal with this extreme costs and volatility in steel prices. And really it's where we're near the peak of all-time high steel coil prices for pipes, so we've included an allowance for that in this. But for TVWD to provide that 10% contingency funding plus that $150,000 for steel escalation uncertainty, that would require them to set aside an additional roughly $1.6 million to fully fund that that 10% contingency. Likewise, for City of Beaverton, CLB 1.2, they did have $200,000 that's already identified within their bid schedule as for unanticipated work, and so that would be part of it. But the remaining balance, we would ask Beaverton to set aside $920,000 to fully support that 10% contingency amount. And so that would, you know, if both agencies elect to fully support that, then the project would be budgeted for just over $60 million, again, with the full 10% contingency. So with that, requesting that the board consider approval of this contract 2021-029 with Emery & Sons Construction Group for the MPE 1.2 CLB pipeline construction for the WWSB, an amount of $54,606,275. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you, Mike. Commissioner Duggan, do you have any questions for this?
No, I don't. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the presentation and the detailed explanation.
I also do not have any questions. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the contract with Emery & Sons Construction Group for MPE 1.2/COB 1.2 pipeline construction contractor for the Willamette Water Supply Program? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion or the second for this action item.
This is Commissioner Duggan, so moved.
This is Commissioner Judah, I second. The meeting recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
Commissioner Judah?
Aye.
Commissioner Duggan.
Aye.
All right, the motion passes. Thanks again, Mike.
Okay.
Pleasure. The next item on today's agenda are the information items. Ms. Bennett will present the business agenda items planned for June. We do not hear you. Maybe your mic is muted.
Sorry, I had to steal the screen back from Mike. Can you see item 5A?
Yes.
Excellent, thank you. All right, thank you, commissioners. I will provide now a brief overview of the items that we expect to have on the business agenda next month. As you have observed, these items are dynamic, especially when we are coordinating with outside parties. So some items may be delayed or new items may emerge on the business agenda next month. Our first item is a PLM 1.3 supplemental resolution of need. As you heard today, we are ready to initiate additional property acquisitions for pipeline section PLM 1.3 located within the city of Wilsonville. And this supplemental resolution allows the team to phase the efforts to secure the needed easements for that project. At the June board meeting, staff will present the project areas and easement needs with a recommendation to the board to adopt the supplemental resolution to allow staff to begin the process to acquire these additional permanent and temporary construction easements. Items 2, 3, and 4 are agreements with Washington County Land Use and Transportation, the Reservoir 1 Grabhorn Road Realignment IGA, and two construction IGAs for PLM 4.2 and PLM 4.4. Program and county staff are continuing to collaborate on the preparation of these agreements, and these agreements continue our productive partnership with the county as we deliver water infrastructure and they improve our roadway network. At the June board meeting, staff will present the proposed intergovernmental agreements with recommendations to adopt them through resolutions. Fifth item is to approve a PLM 1.3 Bonneville Power Administration reimbursable agreement. To facilitate the safe and economical construction of the PLM 1.3 pipeline project in the Ritter Road area in Wilsonville, a reimbursable agreement is needed with Bonneville Power Administration. Through the execution of this agreement, BPA agrees to relocate existing power lines, which are more accurately described as ground mat ties, between their two substations located along Ritter Road. Without the relocation of the ties, the pipeline would need to be constructed deeper and in potentially adverse geotechnical conditions. In return, WWSS will compensate BPA for its design and construction costs. At the next board meeting, program staff will present the proposed intergovernmental agreement with a recommendation to the board to adopt it through resolution. The sixth and final item is the WWSP Program and Construction Management Services FY 2022 Annual Work Plan Approval Recommendation. Stantec Consulting Services, Inc. is contracted to provide program and construction management services for the WWSP through 2026. Specific services are authorized on an annual basis through approval of an annual work plan. The FY 2022 annual work plan identifies Stantec's planned services, planned staffing, estimated fees, and key assumptions for delivery of program and construction management support services that are correlated to the WWSP 2022 rebaseline schedule and budget. The estimated fee for the Program and Construction Management Services FY 2022 annual work plan is approximately $18.5 million. WWSP staff will provide an overview of the work plan and recommend approval at the next board meeting. This concludes the summary of upcoming action items. May I answer any questions?
Thank you. Commissioner Duggan, do you have any questions?
No. Thank you, Joelle.
All right. The next item under the informational item B is our next regular board meeting is scheduled on May 6th, I'm willing to bet that's the wrong date. I don't have a calendar in front of me, so, June 3rd, right on the screen. Good job. Mr. Krauska tried to pull a fast one on the agenda there. All right.
Just trying to keep you on your toes. Sorry about that.
All right. The next items on the agenda today are communications and non-agenda items. There are none scheduled. Does anybody have any questions or discussion topics for this category today?
None here.
Mr. Kraska, as you know, and you've been prepared, I would like to talk to you about escalating steel prices and WWSS's opportunity to purchase them before they get any higher. As we had talked about 4 years ago when the Trump administration had started placing new tariffs on steel. I'll just be brief. If you would speak to that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. So, answer it in two parts. First, what we're doing right now. What we're doing right now is we're at a peak in steel prices, as we've all realized. And so what we're evaluating is the upcoming bids and the upcoming work that we have, the amount of steel that we need to purchase, and the type of steel. Now that we have our designs almost complete, we have a much better idea in terms of like how much of that is the coil steel and steel plate, the coil steel that we would need for our pipeline, steel plate that we'd need for a treatment plant, rebar that we need for a treatment plant, and reservoirs and so on, and figure out the quantity that we're looking at. And then once we have that figured out, then we can figure out where we would purchase it and also the risks involved in pre-purchasing it. And also, now that we have a really good idea as far as when we're bidding those projects, we'll also be able to measure and compare in terms of what's really to be gained by doing any pre-purchase now versus just letting it ride and wait till the project's bid. And so anyways, it's not an easy question to answer. The team's working on it, and I'm just going to have to ask for your patience. We're targeting the board meeting in July to make that presentation to you about whether it makes sense, just the issues, ramifications, and what it means to us, and we'll have a recommendation for you at the July board meeting. Hopefully that's soon enough for you. Then
go ahead. Excellent.
Okay, and then looking backward, it feels a little bit like trying to time the stock market. You know, when it's at all-time highs, you wonder, should have bought Amazon, when they first came on the market. Part of it was when we started looking at some of the steel prices going up, and we saw the tariffs being levied on that. And we didn't have as much knowledge as we have now in terms of our project's design and really how much steel we're going to be needing. Specifically related to the thickness of our pipe diameters of our pipelines, our transmission lines, and the advancement of the design of our water treatment plant and so on. We don't have the information we have now. Also, pre-purchase comes with some baggage in terms of potentially locking you into a single supplier. And whether that's a single material supplier or a pipeline supplier or so on, it kind of hamstrings you significantly. And if we had proceeded with this activity prior to acquiring our WIFIA funding, it might have created some challenges for us with respect to going after WIFIA funding if we, at the time, didn't go with American Iron and Steel. So looking backward, there's not much to be gained there. There's a story to be told about why we didn't pull the trigger back then. But sitting here today and looking at where we're at right now and figuring that out, we're working on that right now, and we'll have a presentation for you at the July board meeting.
My unmute button wasn't working. Thank you, Dave. Welcome. I appreciate it. Commissioner Duggan, do you have any follow-up questions or need any more info on that?
No, I look forward to hearing more about it in July.
Great, thank you.
All right, hearing no other non-agenda items or communications, there is no further business before the board commission today. This meeting is adjourned.
All right, thank you. Take care.
Thank you, see you later.
Thank you very much. Oh, and so for